In our study, in our study we looked at last time Easter and the resurrection, and reminded ourselves that the only sign the Lord is giving to the world is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he rose again. And the church, which is his body, the assignment of the body is to represent the head. And we are visible, touchable, material witnesses of that life. And that's what the world needs to see, that the testimony of his body, the church, is to bear witness to who he is and what he has done, and do so by he crucified, was buried, and risen, coming again. So our assignment is to represent that in a world that is going in the wrong direction. And thus, God, you're restraining evil. He is. And you know, in the light of Thessalonians and that, the mystery of iniquity, iniquity means lawlessness. In the light of the increasing lawlessness, the absence of the God of truth and the truth of God, the absence of that, it's missing more and more and more. And in the process of that, that mystery is being outworked. And in competition with that, or on the other side of the coin, is the mystery of godliness. That God, being who he is, creating us in his image and likeness, that God would choose and has designed the human heart to house his person. And we would say, with all of the believers of yesterday, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of a truth, said they of the Apostle Paul, God is in you of a truth. He didn't say they were religious. They said God is in you. The mystery of godliness. Now, all of that's taking place. And in the process, and it's very subtle for the most part, even though it's speeded up a great deal. And people get, in time, lax, lazy, sleepy, and they aren't alert, they aren't awake to what's happening. And nations and people are all there, and God, you're on top of it all. We don't want to thank God that you're an absentee landlord. On the contrary, you are an ever-present God, and everything is moving in thy time according to your purposeful plan to be outworked. It can't go faster than it should, and it won't go slower than it should. It'll be right on time. And you're allowing the devil, the system, to go where it is in a most awesome way. Now, having said that, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 32. And in chapter 32, I would remind you in Deuteronomy, here is the witness God, as he closes, Moses is about to die, as he's writing the last statements in the light of all of their history up to this point, Genesis to Numbers. Moses is putting it all together. And God has him write a song, which is to be sung by each generation of Israel. And it is to be a witness against them, not for them, against them, to warn them, to awaken them, to stir them. Now, so when in this chapter 32, this song, the witness, going, if I may, to verse 7, you hit the section that has to do with history. and in verse 32:7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. You need to know, young members, the whole generation that has grown up 40 years in the wilderness. They never saw Egypt, never have been in Egypt. And they represent the generation that is crossing the Jordan River, apart from Joshua and Caleb. So here they are, and they are to be reminded, the young people, old people, they are to be reminded about the Most High God, who did what? Divided, and without turning there in Acts 17 and 26, without turning there, God said, he reminded them, when he divided, Genesis 11, he scattered the people at the Tower of Babel. He changed their language and a whole host of things so that they ended up all over the world with all of its different kind of climates and everything. And they went out. And God scattered them. And God, Genesis 10, gives the nations as they go all over where they're going to be, as they are. And in Genesis 9, 10, and 11, God is telling them, I put all of the nations in the world, Genesis 11 and 10, I put all those nations based on the fact that Israel, Jerusalem, is the centerpiece for the Jews. He puts his finger on it. Everything I do in Genesis 10, where I let all those nations go, is based on the fact of Israel. It's the centerpiece. Way back then, there is no Israel. But God said, I did it. You are so special. You are so privileged. If I can. Verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, and so the Lord's portion is his people. God has prized the privileged and privileged the nation of Israel to be a testimony to all the nations of the world. They are given super duper privilege. Just to know God, or to say with the psalmist, to be able to be, just stand in the threshold of where God is a privilege. Let alone to be a threshold where God is a privilege. Just to know him. Wow. So here's Israel having this very, very special place, people among all the people. There's now over 7 billion of them. Here they are. And Israel's the centerpiece as far as a nation goes. And verse 10. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him he kept him as the apple of his eye. The apple, that has to do with the black in the middle of the eye and the little part. The apple of his eye, the little man in the eye. The eye reflects in the middle of the eye. The little man of the eye, apple, the center. And when you see, what are you looking at, God? When I look at your eye, you'll see Israel. 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 When I look. Wow. Boy, are they special. You bet your boots they are. They have an assignment to benefit the whole world. Wow. So now, And again, in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. God has wonderfully, wonderfully taken you and made you and developed you as a people. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and make him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. God would have given them everything. Wonderfully, wonderfully, everything. Wow. Now, in having said that, their privileged place, God's purposeful plan, God, you took them and you did a wonderful thing. Now, I want to just take, in the light of our assignment, the world has no way to answer an empty tomb. It's an utter impossibility to come up with an answer for the empty tomb in the light of the grand public, whole movement of it, which was public, very public. They have no answer. So they either deny the Lord or don't want it. They never talk about it. And thus they never talk about his resurrection. Because if we talk about his death and resurrection, we have to talk about his resurrection. So we don't talk about that either. And we have another thing, says the world. What are we going to do? Church people? No problem. But people who are believers, who are saved, who are what? Christ in them, the hope of glory. That they are walking in newness of life. That they represent the life of the risen Savior. The risen Lord Jesus Christ resides in their heart. That is a problem. And therefore, we deny that that's impossible. We can't answer that. How are we going to answer that unless we give God credit for his person and work on Calvary's cross? So since we can't answer it, we deny it. And unbelief in any form makes it so that many, many, too many, too many professing Christians don't understand that when they got saved, and the only way you can get saved is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the only way you can get saved is to have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath no life. And that is another impossibility they can't answer. It doesn't make sense to them. Don't to go to church and be a bishop, a cardinal, or whatever. Won't go higher. Whatever you want. It's one thing. To be a monk, etc., another. To say that God, the Creator, that we don't understand, resides. You are related to the God, to the Lord God Almighty. You are his child, his son. That is unacceptable. And thus our human nature, as churchgoers, we don't believe it. We believe he died. But to believe that in our puny, fleshly body of clay, he lives. That's doesn't practical. It isn't practical. Look at my life. Look at my world. That isn't real. That must be a story, a fantasy. No, it's real. And it's unbelievable. But so is the empty tomb. And that's what it's all about. The only way you can honor Almighty God in a day of rank unbelief is to believe him. And the only sign I will give you to believe is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way I'm going to keep that going is to take whosoever's that will believe in me, I'm going to give them eternal life, and the world's going to have to look at them, and they're just like them, flesh and blood. But they're going to have and a testimony coming out of them is a wonderful thing about their life. The life I now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. God in me. God. I'm uniquely, wonderfully related to God. In the grace of God. Are you a son? That's very hard for the old nature to do that. So now, God, what did you do? Israel didn't enjoy its privilege. And the church isn't enjoying us. What did you do to try to help them, Moses? So therefore, God uses Moses as his penman. And going to verse 11 again, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth the broader wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So here's eagles. And remember their nest 4 to 6 feet across. They weigh 9 to 14 pounds somewhere in there. Their wingspread is 6 to 8 feet across. They have 7,000. I have a feather. I forgot to bring it out. I'll bring out an eagle feather. I didn't take it from an eagle. It was on the ground. And the eagle said, I don't need it anymore. So I have it. I was going to show you the feather. The average eagle has 7,000 feathers. The 7,000 feathers weigh no more than 21 ounces. The grip of the eagle claw can put 1,000 pounds pressure when it squeezes. That's a lot, I know. Squeezies, I know. Wow. 200's a lot. 1,000 pounds? Wow. Now, God, what are you using? I'm using the illustration. As the eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young. And as they do that, now the word flutter, that you're looking at, the little verb there, remember, means to stir up, to excite, to be moved, motivated, aroused, awakened to motion, to stir, as the eagle stirs up. Now, normally the nest is very soft. Mice, birds, feathers, and everything, the nest is soft. But when it's time for those little birdies to get up there and get ready to fly, he takes away all that soft stuff. And apparently it's very rough, and the sticks stick up, and it's very uncomfortable sitting in that nest. And the mother eagle, or daddy eagle, or the whatever eagle, makes the nest just so. So the bird has to get up and move. It isn't comfortable. And then the mother would coax it to the edge, and off it goes. And it has to go, and it goes out, and whew, and I don't blame him. If I was an eaglet, I would do the same thing. It's a long way down there. It's a long way. Looking over the edge of the nest, it's a long way down. I wouldn't jump either. But Mother Eagle gives a push. Off it goes, and down you go. And the Mother Eagle comes and gets it up again, and down it goes. And the Mother Eagle gets your wings going. That's what you got them for. Use them. And pretty soon the little eaglet flies. Now, God, that's what you did. That's right. I did that for Israel. Israel never dreamed it could be such a people, to have such a privilege. But I knew it could. And I had to do for it what it wouldn't do for itself. I had to go and stir it up, to excite it, to arouse it, to get it so it moved, was motivated, excited. Wow. Now, God, that's what you did. I did that. I wanted Israel to awaken to the possibility, the impossibility that was very possible, to be what they could never dream of being. For you to understand that Almighty God would be in your heart. And the God who runs the forever billions of galaxies, in his marvelous decision and thinking, resides in my heart. So when I go to bed, I have problems, and out there's the problem, and in here's the solution. The same as out there. Wow. No! Yes. And God said, you won't even enjoy it or exercise it unless I stir you up. You'll never fly, little eaglet. Now, over, if you would please, to get a sense of it, over to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Now, remember, God with Job. God stirred up Job. God stirred up the devil, about Job. And God said, hey, did you ever see my man down there, Job? Oh, yeah. If he was tested, he would never make it. And God allowed the devil. He triggered the movement. And the devil said, if he was tested, let me test him. And God let him. But only so much. All of it's restrained, restricted, but in the same time put in motion to happen, to outwork itself. Now, so God, here all, then watch it. Just let me do it very quickly. You'll see it. God, here's history. And we go back, way back in history, and we turn the pages of history. And God, we're interested in the different times and places. Now, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 17. Here's Babylon, but what are you going to do, God? Every nation you put, rise up, you let rise up, and you put them down. Verse 17, behold, 13:17, behold, I will stir up. There's your verb. I will cause to get excited the Medes against them. I'm going to stir up the Medes. It's time for Babylon to pay the price. And I have the Board of Education over here, and that's Media Persia. And I'm going to have them come over and knock down Babylon. I'm going to trigger their mind, trigger them to feel free to attack mighty Babylon. It's time. God triggers it. Wow. Over, if you would, please. Oh, over to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, remember now, verse 1. Just pick it up. Looking at history, what you're doing is, God, are you involved in history? Ezra chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up, caused. It got him all excited. Roused, awakened him out of sleep. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, and he's going to go, verse 2, thus, what are you going to say, Cyrus? King of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He is the ruling nation. And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And now, God, you're going to go, and the Medes and Persians, and you're going to stir up Cyrus? That's right. I'm going to stir him up. I'm going to stimulate him. I'm going to raise him up, literally. Now, back over to Isaiah and 44. Using just Cyrus as an example. Isaiah chapter 44, picking up in verse 28. Thus saith that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. And Ezra, remember, Cyrus sent Ezra back, Nehemiah back, Zerubbabel back. To what? Build the temple. God gave him the decree. Go build it. Who did that? Cyrus. You stirred him up to tell it's all right. It's 70 years are up. It's time to go back to Jerusalem for the remnant. That's right. And you stirred him up. It's time. The clock. You looked at the clock, God, and said it's time. They didn't know the clock. You knew the clock, God, and you did it. Isaiah chapter 45. And you know, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. And you can keep reading. You don't have to read it for time's sake. And you can keep going. What are you going to do? Well, Cyrus, I have a man. And he isn't even born yet. But he will be. He will be. He will be. Wow. And Daniel, did you help Jeremiah, did you help them understand, Cyrus, that he was already spoken of to do what he's going to do? Yes, he does. And he read Isaiah 45, etc. Now, I've raised him up, said God. Over, if you would, picking up, please, in Isaiah 51, while you're here. Isaiah chapter 51. God, you're moving people, persons, nations. That's right. And they're never late, never early. And I restrain them. If I didn't restrain them, 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist would be here. But not yet. I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished telling the world in grace that I am the only God and the only Savior by way of His church, the body, His body, to tell Him He lives. You're going to believe? Going to believe? No, we aren't going to believe. Well, you can't say I didn't give you time. Can't say I didn't tell you. I gave you plenty of time. But the churches don't believe. The schools don't believe. The government doesn't believe. But God said, you had better believe. You had better believe. Now, Isaiah chapter 51, our little word. And you pick it up, please. Oh, in the great movement, awakening, Israel, Babylon, etc. Picking up, if I can, in, a little bit, verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Therefore, awake. What are we going to say? Well, awake, awake. And that's your word to stir up. Wake up. Get excited. Wake, awake, 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 awake. And the process, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wow. It's a command. God, you're the only one that can make this happen. That's right. God, wake up. Stir yourself. Get excited, God. Get excited. Move, God. We're playing that now, trying to save ourselves some heartache here and hoping the Lord comes. Hoping the Lord comes and do it. But you can't hurry Him, and He won't be late. So, God, move. And the Israel, wake up, God. Move. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, third time. As in the ancient days, as in the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab? That's a word for Egypt, the dragon, and wounded the dragon. Egypt, didn't you cut it? Didn't you take care of Egypt? I did. Well, God, it's time now. It's time to take care. Here's Assyria, and Babylon's coming down, coming in the future. Therefore, the remnant. Verse 17, God, you said, you tell God to wake up and get ready. Get busy, God. Get wake up. Come and help me. All right. Verse 17, awake, awake. It's your same words, same verb. Wow. Awake, awake. Israel, Jerusalem, your condition is terrible. Fix it, fix it, fix it. Change your life. You're going to be in great trouble. Awake, awake, awake. Awake, awake, and thus to awake, cause yourself to wake up, pinch yourself, talk to yourself, awake, awake. Stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Wow. Now, and I want to read a lovely little statement in the middle of that, verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? Why aren't you paying attention to me? Why aren't you doing that? You think of people, and you get all worried about what this one's going to do, and that one's going to do. What are they going to do? What's Korea going to do? What's Afghanistan going to do? What are the countries of Africa going to do? Venezuela, Chile, what are you going to do? Wow. What's our government going to do? What's next? All of it's there, but don't get afraid. Don't. You want to be afraid. You look to me. You want to know what I'm going to do. You want to know what I, the only God and the only Savior, am going to do. That's what you want to know. Everything else is governed by what I do. When I restrain, when I don't restrain, when I let it happen, wow. So God, here we are. Awake, awake, oh, and in the future. Now that's for them in the time of trouble. Trouble, anxious, tribulation coming up in the future. Here's Israel's history. They need to wake up to a great God who's dead, may have given them great privilege. On eagle's wings, he took them and gave them marvelous privilege to walk and ride the high places of the earth. Privileged. Wow. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So now, chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake. There's your same verb. There it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Wow. In the context. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. I'm going to do a wonderful thing in the future. So wake up now. Be stirred. Be stimulated. Awake. Don't go to sleep. Stay awake. And even though it's trouble and you're going to see the Assyrians have come in and the Babylonians are going to come in and you're going to go and get scattered all over and difficulty is going to be yours all the way to the tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? Wake up! I'm going to fix it. In due season, I am going to do what I do. I am going to stir myself up and do it. So in the meantime, I want you to stay with me on this. I don't want you to back down, back off, and back away, become lax, lazy, indifferent. Don't do that. Don't lose the zest, the wonderful experience of life, and live it, because that's what the world needs to see. It's the only answer for such a terrible, revolting, rebellious world is your life. Remember in Acts 4 and 2, the only thing they could do, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, all the big shots, what can you do with tax collectors and fishermen? Nothing. Why? Because they preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and they showed life. And life can't, what are you going to do with life? He that hath the Son hath, and he that hath not the Son hath no life. What are you going to do about life? All the death in the world, all the dead in the world. What are you going to do about life? Nothing. What are you going to do about light? All the darkness. Darkness. Lots of darkness. Nothing. Darkness will not do one thing to the light. Death will do no thing to life. And God said, I want you to know that. So don't get. What do you care what man does? Why would you trust a human? Think, are you afraid of humans? What's wrong with you? You see? Wow. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would to, Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64. In Isaiah chapter 64, picking up the thought, remember, God is looking to stir up mankind and Israel in the process. And if I can, sliding down for a little of the context, Verse six. We are all as unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself. There's your word, personal. God is what are you saying, Isaiah? Is there anyone? God, what are you looking for? Someone that gets awake and is on the same page with me. Awake, alert, stirred up, fluttering. God, you're going to, like the little eaglet, you're going to drop out of the nest and you're going to flap them. And you're going to keep flapping them until you fly. Because that's your future. That is your purpose, to fly, to defy gravity with your wings. You know the book, Hannah, Secret Life, Secret of a Happy Life. On the wings of surrender and, do you remember? Surrender and trust. And you use them, surrender and trust, and you take off. That's right. Wow. Now, verse 64. There is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we are all the work of thy hand. God, here we are. And you're going to have to do it, God. We aren't going to be able to do it, God. And that's what you need to wake up to. God, we need you. We need your movement. We need your grace. We need your kindness. We do. We do. God, we can't do it without you. It isn't going to work without you, God. We have to look to you with all our heart. Wow. That's what we're going to do. Now, and we're going to do so, and you want us to do so. In fact, if you aren't far away, why not? Isaiah 62. What did you do all over the place? You set watchmen watching. What are they watching for? Looking. They're looking for what? God. God, what are you doing? I'm waiting for you, God. 62, Isaiah, verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God, we're going to, I got them. They're the remnant. They're the believers that are out there back then and in the future and now, looking to you, God, for your coming. Looking, God. And don't back off. I never told you to be silent. I said, bring it. I don't want you to be ignorant about this wonderful mystery, that I could come in the moment of a twinkling of an eye and you would all be changed to be like me. Wow. Have a body like me. Wow. Now, so in the process of all of that, God, the eagle, as the eagle, as the mother eagle is excited and moved and motivated and fluttereth, to get the eaglets to get on the ball and to get with it and to move. So God, here we are. And God, you are wide awake and excited. That's right. You don't have to tell me to be awake. I neither slumber nor what? I neither slumber nor sleep. You don't have to tell me to keep awake. You don't have to tell me about, boy, it's coming. You don't have to do that. God, I said, I know that. That isn't being presumptuous. That's giving God credit that he knows and he cares. And you're going to trust him. You're going to give God credit. I don't mind giving God credit. God, you're going to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're God. So now, God, you're awake, you're excited, you're moved, you're motivated. Here we are when we have an awakened people looking to you. And Israel was to be a remnant, awake and awake. And you know when you come to the end of the Old Testament, you know what they're doing. Over, if you would, just in case, Malachi. And Malachi in chapter 3, Malachi 3. And in verse 16, you know, 3 and 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now here they are at the end of the age. Things are going downhill. The temple that was built by Ezra and Nehemiah is not succeeding. The unbelief, Malachi, unbelief is rampant and going downhill, and there's nothing there. So what are the handful doing? Look at where we're headed. But a handful of them looked and remembered and feared God, and they were looking for God to keep them awake, alert, on the same page with God. And as history unfolds, just think of your Bible. It unfolds. Your life is just like this, isn't it? Your life. And tomorrow is another page. Stay awake. Stay alert. For the next time. This is coming. But not yet. We've got to go through these pages to get there. Now, so God, here we are, looking. Looking, God, they had a wonderful thought of you, wonderful remembrance of you. So now, God, here we are, over, if you would, over in Psalm 130. And you will note 130. You'll see the little word wait. I'll pick it up. 130, verse 1. It's not very long. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I am stirred up. I am awake. I am excited. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? God, I'm paying attention. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God, I'm paying attention. Wonderfully so, God. I wait, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And the word wait is used twice. It's intensive. It means to be firmly bound, to bind together, to be stretched, stretched out, valiant, valiant, binding, binding. Just think of a package, and they're going to go and bind it, make it tight. Remember, we used it before. Wait, wait. Take the tight, take the rope, and tie it up. And then before you put the knot in, pull it tight, stretch it so the rope is tight. Put a knot. Make it tight. Make it tight. Wait, wait. Gonna tie myself up. I'm gonna get knotted to you, God. I'm gonna look to you, God. It's intensive to do it with vigor. I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. God, Israel is to wait. We're to wait. We're to stay awake, alert, fully awake, alert, fully awake. Over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, picking up, please, in verse 28, 40 and 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, there's your word, wait, stretch themselves out. They that wait. They that are waiting. Present tense, as it were. They that are waiting. The Lord shall renew, exchange, substitute their strength for His. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does the mother eagle want the eaglets to do? To fly, to live, fulfill the purpose of God, the Creator God, and be an igloo. Be an eagle. Yeah. Well, let's see. You could be an igloo, but if you're in the right place, it would last a long time. If it's in the wrong place, it won't last. Be an eaglet. Be an eagle. Wow. Renew the strength. God. They that wait on the Lord, stir themselves up. God, are you stirred up? God said, I'm stirred up. God, are you interested? Are you sort of lax, lazy? Are you indifferent? No. I don't want to be. Closing, two places. Over, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter 5. God, we want to stay alert, awake. We don't want to lose it. We just celebrated it, and the world has forgotten it already. They forgot all about Easter. All about Easter. Waiting for the next thing. All gone. Ah, but you aren't all gone. And you continue, if you will. We, if we assemble together properly, will be a testimony to all of them that He lives. We serve a living, risen Savior. Wow. Ephesians chapter 5. Picking up, if I can, the context. We're children of light. Walk in the light. Verse 8. We were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Skipping down to verse. What are we supposed to do? Walk to live. That's right. Verse 13. But all things are reproved, are made. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God makes everything real and puts it out on the table for what it really is. Verse 14, wherefore, in the light of that, and children of light, what are we supposed to do? Stay awake. It's a command. Stay awake. You, middle voice, you yourself, keep yourself awake. Don't go to sleep. Thou that sleepest, awake, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Walk and live carefully. Understand the days in which you live. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Verse 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. God, I want to know. Yes, I do. I want to be in that will. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess. I want to be controlled, not by anything, any other, except you. And God, I'm going to speak and look to you with a song in my heart, giving thanks always for all things unto you, our God and Father. I'm going to thank you. Thank you very much. I'm awake. Wait. I'm thankfully looking to you, God, over in the light of that. Awake. Thou that sleepest, you know, reckon yourself dead indeed under sin and what? Alive unto God. Wake up, believer. Wake up, believer. Wow. Now, in closing, over Matthew chapter 23. Matthew in chapter 23. God, we have a wonderful assignment. And the end of the church age is going to be, we have need of nothing, Laodicea. We're rich. We have everything. We're okay. No, you're not. Well, we're okay. No, you're not. And the great physician makes his diagnostic evaluation. You are miserable, poor, and wretched. He makes his prognosis. You will die in your sins. Matthew chapter 23, our Lord, entering Jerusalem, remember, on that week of his crucifixion. Verse 37, 37:23, Matthew. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not, you dummies. You wouldn't do it. I would have taken care of you. I had a wonderful plan for your life. Wonderful plan. But you didn't want it. You forfeited that plan. You put it aside. You didn't believe it was possible because other people didn't believe. You didn't believe it was possible for you because you weren't good enough. And you didn't believe it would be for you. Maybe special people, but not for you. Huh? Verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God, if they had just snuggled up to you, like the chicken, little chick, and just snuggled up. God said, I'll do it. Come to me, all ye that what are laden and heavy laden, come. No. Oh, we're dummies. God said, I want you to know you're in the middle of me, believer. You're in the middle of me. Stay there. What can separate you? My love is in front of you. I am in front of you. I am love. In front of you, behind you, left, right, top, bottom. You're in the middle of me. Be of good cheer. Stay awake. Stay alert. Stir yourself up. Arouse yourself to the wonderment. So don't get dragged down, bottomed out, empty, discouraged, depressed, depleted. Get tired. Look to God. Be refreshed by being reminded. Do this in remembrance of me. Huh? We didn't put communion in the bulletin, but there would be communion tonight. Thank you. So we'll pray. Our God and Father, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to do anything. We just have to stop and be still and remember thou art God. God, deal with us. Thank you. We're going to count on you because you said it, true. And therefore, it has to be true because you said it. And all of forever backs you up. So, God, thank you. To do the make possible, the enjoyment, the experience of the impossible. God, thank you very much. Thank you. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with them in the light of their heart, their home, their health, their wealth, all the different needs in their heart and conditions and situations and circumstances. And God, all of those that exist, and here you are. God, you are stirred up. Let us be awakened to your wonderful person. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And perhaps we could sing, please, stanza 204.